Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today.
Well, good morning, radio friends, and with that theme song, we do begin another Redemption Time broadcast. This is Brother Larry Knowles, and I do appreciate so much each one of you that's tuned in this morning, and I do trust that this broadcast will be a blessing to you, that it will help you along your way as you're a Christian, and if you're not, then my friend, I hope that the Lord will speak to your heart today and bring you to a place of understanding your need for the Savior, and Lord, just to have you to receive the Lord into your heart and be saved today by His marvelous grace. Our church services there at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle, located on Mount Tabor Road in Maryville, we begin our Sunday school on Sunday morning at 9:45. Our morning worship begins at 10:45, and Sunday night we begin at 6 and then again at 7 on Wednesday night. Give you an invitation to come and be in any of these that you possibly could. Had our candle lighting service last Sunday. My, what a blessing it was. It was a sweet service. And we just appreciate so much all those that came. And I know that the Lord blessed you because I was there to witness it. Then I'd like to also invite you to our revival beginning January 4th. On that day, the Sunday, it will begin at 6 p.m. And then Monday through Wednesday, it will begin at 7 p.m. And we invite you to come. Brother Tom Gillum be preaching that week. And I know that Brother Tom will bless your heart. He will give you something from the Word of God if you come. I promise you, you will not go away empty. You will not go away disappointed. So we give you that invitation and trust that if you possibly can, that you'll come, because I know the Lord will bless you if you do. Now let's have a song, and then we'll get into today's message.
Dark times.
I have to say, along with the song, that God has really, truly been good to me. And we're so thankful for His grace and for His care every day. I was a Joy Ayers singing, God Has Been Good to Me. And we appreciate those folks. They're no longer traveling. They've retired, but I have their CDs. And I promised them that they might be coming off the road. But as long as I had a broadcast, they would be still on the. I do use their CDs a lot because I love them so much. And the songs are such a blessing to me, and I want them to be for you too. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, for everyone that's listening. Thank you for the season that we're just coming out of, that we celebrated the birth of the blessed Savior, gave up heaven's glory, and came down here to live in the body of a man. Suffered the things he suffered, died on a cross, was buried and rose from the dead, went back to heaven, thank God said he was coming again soon, and we do know that that redemption draweth nigh, and help us to be vigilant, and help us to be at work and busy, and Lord, when you get here, that you'll find us doing what you want us to do. Pray for the ones who are sick this morning, for those who have problems in their life that you can help with, Lord. I pray that you will just bless each one according to your will. Those who are sick, Lord, those who have addictions, those who have financial problems, Lord, those who are in straits, maybe don't know what to do about something, we ask you, Lord, to be with them. Father, most of all, if there's one under the sound of my voice that's not saved, I pray that today will be the day that you will take the veil off their heart, reveal to them your love and mercy, the fact that you love them, and that you wish for them to be saved and not to go to a devil's hell. And so, Lord, we do ask all of these things in your name, and we will give you the honor and the praise and the glory for it. And in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we want to continue our study this morning on the seven judgments that are recorded in the Bible. We have previously looked at the judgment of man's sins at Calvary by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that, we found that you can either accept that as your sins, you can claim that and claim Jesus as your very own, realizing that it was our sins that nailed him to that cross, and him being the Son of God, paid the price in our place for our sins. Then we looked briefly at the judgment seat of Christ. Just did a quick one on that one as we finished up the series on the walk around Jerusalem. So we may do some more about that. And now we're going to look at the self-judgment of saints, and we started that a couple of weeks ago. Of course, last week we opted to do a Christmas-themed message. So we are down to we were going through the entire messages, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 17 through 34. And we said that, first of all, we were looking at some problems that existed in the Corinthian church. Paul is writing to them, and he had some things to commend them for, but he had some things to correct them for. And some of the wide areas that he was trying to get them to correct was, first of all, there was disorder at the table. Meaning that when they came together for their agape feasts, their times that they ate together, there was disorder at the table. And some were bringing lots of food and gluttoning out, and also bringing wine and becoming drunk at the meeting of the local church to have a meal together. While there were others who were not even able to bring enough food to satisfy their hunger, so they were hungry. So Paul, he went about and rebuked them because of that. And then the second thing that we looked at was that there was disrespect at the sacraments. That's in verses 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 34. And we had looked at, this is the Lord's Supper. This is the communion. Some called it Eucharist, which means giving of thanks. But what is the purpose of this communion? Well, first of all, we looked at last time, the purpose is the remembrance of what Christ did for us. And verse number 26, it said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So the purpose is that we're going to look back at what Jesus did at Calvary and take this occasion that we put every other thought aside and we concentrate solely and completely on his suffering, on what he did for our sins at Calvary. And we're looking back at that and we're being thankful and we are remembering that so that he knows that we remember and that we are thankful. But then not only the purpose, but who were the people of the supper? Those who are truly his disciples. What do you mean? I'm saying that this remembrance is for saved people only. A lost person cannot look back at the cross in the same light that a saved person can because they have never experienced the realization of what Christ did for them there on the cross when he died in their place. So, aren't you glad that when he did suffer for those and when you came to him in humble confession of your sins, that he did save you? He changed you from a sinner to a saint. He took you from lost to loved, and he took you from hell and promised you heaven. So the people of the supper were those who are truly saved. If you look at John chapter 13, verse 27, you will see that Judas had left the table before Jesus did this. And so we do know that this is one of the ordinances that are meant for saved people only, the other one being baptism. These are the only two ordinances that the Baptist Church recognizes as the New Testament commands of our Lord. The baptism, of course, showing forth that we have died with him and died to our sins, and that we have been buried with him and we have been resurrected to new life in him. Water itself does nothing for us other than gets us wet. But it is a symbol of that I have been washed clean, not by the water, but the water represents the word, and the word is what it takes to get you to the point that you will believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and will be saved, and that will therefore get you washed in the blood and will get you cleansed. I'm thinking about the power of the ordinance. By the remembrance of what Jesus did for us, we're not just walking around some monument. We're not just looking at some dead piece of stone that's been carved out to represent that sacrifice. No. We are actually having fellowship with a living Savior, and our heart reaches out in faith to commune and be thankful for him. The first thing Jesus did before breaking the bread was to give thanks. The fact that that bread was broken reminds us that he was broken. His body was scarred, it was beaten. You find in Psalms chapter 22 that When they finished with him at the whipping post, he did not even, was not even recognizable as a human being. The awful, terrible beating that they gave him, that he went through for you and me. And then they mocked him, put a robe upon him, bowed before him, called him their king, made fun of him, slapped him, pulled his beard out, put a crown of thorns on his head, marched him through the streets of Jerusalem, carrying his own cross after all of that that he'd been through. And not only that, he'd been up all night. They'd not let him have a wink of sleep. He was tired. He was worn out. He was beaten. He was weak. And all of those things had happened to him. And yet they have demanded that he carry that heavy cross up Calvary's hill, where they would use it to crucify him. This is what we're reaching back for, to be thankful for. And as we think about his body being broken for us, now let me clarify something. When I say his body was broken, there was not a bone of him broken, because it was prophesied that that would happen, that there would be no bones broken, and there were not. But his body had been terribly misfigured. And then at the very end, they even thrust a spear into his side, and there came out water and blood together, indicating that he was dead. And as we think about these things, it's easy to just think about, yeah, Jesus died on the cross. But as I said, this ordinance is a time that we should look back and remember exactly what he did. And as we take the bread, remember that precious body that never committed a sin, never told a lie, never had an evil thought, that body was destroyed physically almost for my sake and for your sake. The lashes from that whip should have been on our backs for our sins. But God had made the way that Jesus could take the sin of all of us, and he could pay the price for all of us. And friend, he did that. And as saved people, I don't think we understand sometimes, and we may not appreciate as much as we should, what Jesus went through for us. We talk about he shed his blood. We talk about him being on the cross. We talk about him being crucified. And yet, in this time, the power of this ordinance is if we stop and look back and think about that body that was broken. Not only that, but then the other part of that is we do take the liquid that we use in the Baptist church is grape juice. I understand some people use wine. We just choose not to do that. We choose to do it. It's the same color. It's red, like his blood was. And we're not doing it because of the taste or exactly what we're looking for. What we're doing it for is to honor not only his broken body, but his blood that was shed for us. Bible says that without the shedding of blood is no remission. A bloodless religion will take you to hell. I know that the world today likes to make fun of this old blood slaughterhouse religion and make fun of us folks that instead of going with a new modern way, we insist upon the absolute truth of the Bible, that it means exactly what it says, that it doesn't need any revising, doesn't need any perverting, just needs to be taken and believed as it is. And if you believe that, then you believe that it takes the blood of an innocent one to pay the price for a guilty one, providing God approves of that. And when he resurrected him from the dead, it was an absolute approval of his work and what he had accomplished. And because that God approved of that, he will accept us through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, if you think you got there any other way, I'm here to tell you that you didn't and you won't. It's through the cross. It's through Jesus, or there you will not go to heaven. It's through his blood, through his broken body, and we are looking back at this as we do this ordinance. Then look at the perseverance of the ordinance. In verse number 26, he said, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Now, the reason I say the perseverance is verse number 26 says you do it as often as you do it. There is no frequency mentioned here as to how often it should be done. It's just that he says, when you do it in remembrance of me. The emphasis is not when it should be done, just that so often that becomes so familiar that it is done out of routine if we do it too much. And it becomes just another part of the service and is routine as is receiving the offering. And how long, the perseverance, he said, how long shall we do this? He said, as often as you do it in remembrance until, what did he say? We read it to you right there in that verse. Do show the Lord's death till he come. So we are bound by the commandment of the Lord to observe this as long as he's not here with us. We should do it in remembrance of him. Now, I know some people take it to the extreme, and they do perform this every week. But as I said, if you do that, it kind of just comes part of a ritual. It's just another part of the service, like taking their offering, or whatever other thing that you do regularly on a meeting day. And so I think that's why he said, as often as you do it according to the dictation of your own heart. The pastor usually is the one that, well, in fact, in the Baptist church, he's always the one that the Lord lays it on his heart. When he wants it, when he brings it to his remembrance, the pastor will then set it up on a certain date. It will be announced ahead of time so everybody can come and participate in that. And so then as we move just a little bit further, we see the preaching of the ordinance. So he said, when you do this, it does show... It does show his death until he returns. So, what is this? This is a message that you deliver when you do this. When you participate in this, you are saying outwardly that I believe that he died for me. I believe that in obedience to his request, I am, or it's really a command, I'm going to witness right now to a lost and dying world that I remember his body was broken for me, his blood was shed for me, and I'm going to honor that. And so when you do that, you are presenting a strong witness to bystanders. So I want to just encourage you as we reach the end of this message. This was the judgment. What did Paul say? We're going a little further. And he said, let a man examine himself. Well, let me back up. Verse number 27 says, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. What's it talking about? It's talking about not taking for serious what you're doing. You just kind of sit there and take everything. Your mind's 1,000 miles away. And you are not sitting there remembering what Jesus has done for you. But like I said, it just becomes another part of the service. That makes you unworthy. Now, I know some have said that you don't need to go there if there's sin in your life. Well, personally, I believe that before you do that, you probably really ought to confess anything. Ask the Lord to clean you up. Show you anything that you're not aware of and ask him to forgive you. But as I said earlier, this is an ordinance for saved people, not for the lost. And we'll see just a little later. We're going to look just a little bit farther on this next week. And I think I can finish it up in a few minutes and maybe get started on another one. But in the closing seconds of this broadcast, I just want to tell you, friend, that we remember that because he died on the cross. His body was broken and his blood was shed for those who need to be saved. And that's every person ever born of a woman. And that includes you. Friend, if the Lord spoke into your heart this morning, would you just get someplace alone, confess your sins, ask God to save you by his grace, and I know on the authority of God's word, he'll do that.